Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Welcome to the Tackling Life podcast with the great first ballot Hall of Famer, Ray Lewis, and me, Dr. Christian Conti. It's a success podcast that tackles life through the lessons of sports, and we are talking to a Hall of Famer here. First ballot, Ray, congratulations.
Hey, Doc, any contract that I sign from here, I'm going to let you be my agent.
You need to be, because
you might need to be my hype man.
I'm hyped up. We knew what was coming, but at the end of the day, this is a dream come true. This is what you worked for your whole career, and I'm just so, so excited for you. I can't even tell you how many people I know are coming up to congratulate me for just being able to say that to you. Where are you with all of this right now?
I'm on cloud 99, and the only thing higher is cloud 100, and that's heaven. No, seriously, bro, it's one of these opportunities that you get once in a lifetime, right? And I'm gonna give everybody some numbers. I'm sorry we missed a couple of, episodes and stuff, but it was so much going on, and I was moving around so much, and we just did not have time to get back with you. Anyway, with that being said, Doc, I want you to, because you're a numbers guy, so I want you to think about these numbers. 300 million people have played this game.
Mm.
300 million have played this game.
Mm.
There's only 318 Hall of Famers.
Mm. Wow.
I became to be 300. My number is 315.
Mm.
Ironically, my birthday is 515 as well. But
oh, my goodness, that's right.
I won't get into numbers. I won't get into numbers just yet. And I want you to think about this. Out of those 318, only 174 are living.
Wow.
So when you ask me where am I with this, I've always wondered what will it feel like to be recognized, not only the greatest, but to be recognized with many of the greatest.
Mm. Mm.
The ones that as a kid I grew up watching. The ones that inspired me to do the things that I was trying to get done. And now it becomes a fraternity to where they look at me and say, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family.
Unreal. It's unreal.
Unreal.
I have a number for you that I don't know if you know this number or not, but this struck me last week. You came into the league as the 26th pick, and you won two Super Bowls. And if my math is correct, 26 times 2 equals 52.
Every day of the week, your math correct.
I mean, and then in the 52nd Super Bowl 52, the legend 52 gets enshrined. I mean, you could not write this. You could not write this.
Doc, you can't write it because God is the author of it. You got to think about how many years ago when he touched my mother's belly and I was formed in her womb. You have to understand that. And this is something that I'm telling you that I'm paying more attention to. Now, every step of the way, good or bad, that I had to endure or deal with it's the main reason why I'm standing here right now today. Oh my gosh, Doc, it's, you know.
That's important to recognize, Ray, because it's so many people out there are thinking, why am I going through what I'm going through right now? But for you to be able to be on cloud 99 right now and be able to really reflect and say, I needed every single moment to get me to this moment. That's powerful.
Doc, listen, when I say every single moment, you know, sometimes, you know, in life, we go through things, right? And when bad things happen, we shut down or we shut off or we cut off or whatever. But suppose you had the ability to keep your heart open to where no matter what you was going through, your heart stayed open, Doc. You know, like think about this. Like even on the best journeys, things happen. Like plans change. Like things shift and they move around, right? Think about that, right? And then most of the time, this shifting and moving causes doors to close, relationships to end, blocks and frustrations to appear out of on our path. It's crazy, right? Because that's what we see. So it's like when you're able to tell your heart, no matter what, I'm gonna keep this heart wide open. The only thing you can run into when it's open is the next open door. Man, I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that happened throughout my life, if you want to know the honest God, heaven, truth, is you know what I'm rejoicing the most about, Doc?
What's that?
About all of the doors that was closed. About all of the people that did say I couldn't. Oh my gosh.
One of them fueled you.
It was the fuel, because I kept my heart open to never giving up. To never, never, never believing that somebody who doesn't train with me, somebody who doesn't pray with me, somebody who doesn't pay my bills, and somebody who doesn't feed me can tell me who I am or dictate where I'm going. Yeah. I beg to differ.
Yeah. That's a really great way to phrase that, because if somebody's not in there, and how many people out there have people, random people say things about them, and they take it personally, they allow those people to shape them, but you have gone through so much. And you never allowed that to shape you. Like, you allowed your inner fire, your passion, your belief, your vision to guide you, rather than being swayed this way and that way whenever somebody felt a certain way or said something mean. You never let go of what your goal was.
Not when you know who you are and whose you are. You understand? My foundation of who I am, oh my goodness. That's one thing that the moment he knocked on my door, so I was pacing in the room, right, the whole time, Doc.
I couldn't wait to hear about the knock, Ray.
Yeah, Doc, I'm like, I'm in the room, and mom and brother's there, and I'm pacing, right? And I'm like, you know what? You know how everybody say, oh man, you are shoo-in. You're an automatic lock. Well, I'm saying, well, then hit the door then if I'm automatic lock. I need to hear this knock on the door, right?
Was there like a part of you that was like, wait, what, did I hear that? Was that a knock? Like every couple of minutes you're like.
No, let me tell you what was really funny. I'm sitting in the room, and while I'm sitting in the room, five knocks comes before the main knock comes. I mean, the cleaning people come to the door. I'm like, listen here, I don't want my room clean right now. Don't hit my door no more. Then they come in there saying, oh, do you want us to fix the mini bar? I don't need nothing out this mini bar, no. and so it was crazy that every little knock, right,
Somebody knocks on your door. Hey, can I borrow some sugar? Listen, don't knock on the door right now.
Do not knock on the door. And I tell you, man, when I sat there and I was pacing, and I had a camera crew kind of in there the whole time because I've been recording my journey. And as I'm sitting in there, man, I started to reflect on some of the times that I had to make some real decisions, right? Some of the times my little brother, yeah, I never forget the moment that I had to leave them for a minute my junior year when we was living in Tennessee, and I had to go back to Florida. And I never forget my little brother. He was 10 years old at the time. And we used to call him Muffin Man because he was so fat. Right? His cheeks were so fat. So we used to call him Muffin Man, right? I know he's going to kill me for saying this. But that was his nickname. And I never forget, Doc. I got ready to leave. And listen to this, Doc. This is how crazy this is. I had on a University of Miami bomber leaving Memphis, Tennessee. My mom has this picture. One day I'm going to actually post this picture. A University of Miami bomber on. And I'm going back to high school to finish my junior year out. So remember now, I never even was recruited by Miami at all.
Right. You had no idea at this point.
I had no idea at this point. And I'm standing in the driveway. And this is when my mom gave me the $39, as if you read my book. It's when she let me go back to Florida. And he sprints up to me, Doc. And he grabs my leg and my waist. And he said, "Don't leave me. You can't leave me. I won't make it." And man, I'm telling you, like, even now, like, every time I think about that decision that I had to make, like, it was the hardest decision in the world. And this is where I kind of want to sum it up for people. Sometimes in life, you got to make choices and you cannot look backwards. And Doc, I had to make a choice that day to go make a better way for my family. So when I was walking in that room pacing and I'm seeing my little brother now, who's 33, and I looked at him and I said, "See, now you see why I had to leave you? I couldn't explain it, but now you see why I had to leave you." And I'm telling you, man, the reflection period that you go through when somebody honors you and tells you that you are now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and your name and your image and your essence will be etched on this earth forever, forever. That's when the good book says that a great name is rather chosen than all of the riches of this earth, Doc. That's why I went at the game so hard, because one day when I got to this point, I wanted to sit back and say to myself, "We did that." Mm. Like, mama, we did that. You know where we came from? Like everybody always talk about, you know, "Oh man, you was probably born with a silver spoon in your mouth." Silver spoon. Silver spoon in my mouth, man. We had to live in 8 different houses. We had to share bedrooms. We had to share meals. But it was all based off choices that I made, man.
So how was your mom when the knock came?
Huh?
How was your mom when the knock came?
She lost her mind. I'm her firstborn. Mm. I'm her firstborn. Mm. I'm the same kid at 10 years old tugged on her dress, you know, after a domestic altercation, and told her, One day, I will make a way that you never work ever again, and a man will never put his hands on you ever again." So that's why, man, if you saw this video when I hugged her, I was hugging her for all of the things that only me and her know. See, it's one thing about a mother and a son. She knows me. She knows me better than anybody on this earth. She knows what I won't do. She knows what I will do. And so when that moment happened, and as you see, I was kind of in this moment when he knocked on the door and I opened the door, because when I grabbed his hand and I stood there, and as tears started to roll down my face, I let go of all tears of pain, and they became tears of joy. Man, let me tell you something. If you want to do something in this world, find a way to keep pleasing your mother. And I promise you, your alignment, it will take you places unimaginable.
I think that because our moms are able to guide us and know us better than anyone, and I feel the same way about my mom. So I'm really, my heart, to watch you, I saw that video, and to watch that moment, what struck me was, yes, I knew, everybody knows, like it would have been, you know, so I knew that the knock was coming, but I'm sure there were those moments of hesitation or whatever. But when it happened and I saw your face and you released that, like you could tell, it was palpable how this was a release for you. Like all of those years, all that work, all that sacrifice. And by the way, I mean, there are very few first ballot Hall of Famers. So it's not even in the Hall of Fame. It's, this is the most elite level, like first ballot Hall of Famer. So Ray, I mean, congratulations beyond congratulations. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, one thing I want to talk about is the nuts and bolts of what you were doing, you know, last week. Like, what was it like at the Super Bowl? Like some of those basic things that we would all really love to hear about. So stick with us and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. And Ray, I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer. It seems surreal. It had to feel surreal. I want to get to some of the stuff that was real, the nuts and bolts. Like you get out there. What was it like for you? What was your week like for you?
Let me tell you something I did. I did it totally opposite of any Super Bowl I ever attended. And that is, I canceled everything that somebody wanted me to do. And I wanted to really embrace every second with my mom, with my little brother. And Doc, I didn't start moving during the Super Bowl until the first night of the Hall of Fame reception, you know? And honestly, that's really all I done, Doc.
I was so glad that you were taking that time. I texted you and I said, I'm just so, like, I imagine, like, this is, like, I can't even imagine, like, but to be able to stop and take that time, I was so happy for you that you were taking that in. And Kristen, my wife, was talking about that. She said, I'm really happy that he's doing that, like shutting off to the world and saying, let me just fully, genuinely appreciate this, because you worked for it. It's better than a movie. It's better than any made up story. It's just absolutely amazing. So why not fully embrace it?
Yeah, because you know the routines at Super Bowls, right? Come here, come there, sign for this, sign for that. Hey, I got this for you, I got that for you. I was like, nah. Because I tell you one of the things that I did really take time to do. You ever really take time to go back and read or go over some of the hard decisions you made in your life?
Yes, very much.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like when you had to go backwards, like, and sit there. And every night, Doc, I was grabbing an isolated moment, moments, hours. And I would sit with a cigar and I would be like, what were you? Wow. Like, you overcame that. Like, do you remember? Because it's a trick that I don't have to fall into. Like, and that is, I don't have to listen to what somebody else thinks about me or thinks about my story. No, I actually live the story.
Yes.
So every intricate detail, I understand to the fullest. And that's what I wanted to recapture. And that's why a lot of times, Doc, I had a camera crew with me. Because if it's one thing that every Hall of Famer shared with me, that the one thing they regret is that they didn't record it. Is that they didn't record that moments leading up to it and what those days looked like leading up into it. Doc, let me tell you something. Not only did I record it, you know, I documented it from a lot of different ways. Because when one day when my kids look back, one day when I'm gone and everybody looks back and they're going to be like, wow, like, why was he, like, why was he so emotional? Like, my son was like, oh, dad, yeah, people was talking about, why your daddy crying? And my son was like, because he's human. Yeah. What do you mean, why he's crying?
Because he has emotions.
Yeah, he has emotions. This is not Terminator on a sword. This is a father. This is somebody who it hurts. Let me tell you something. People keep thinking greatness is like cheesecake. Man, greatness hurts. you got to go through it to be great. I'm just being honest. That's why it's only a few people ever step into that space, because that space is so isolated, and your commitment to your destiny determines your focus along your legacy. It'll never change. And man, when you commit to it, and now you're able to go backwards. When that man said, Ray Lewis, you are, this ain't the end. This is the beginning of a new day. And I'm sitting there looking at him saying, my God, the many prayers I had at night, the many times after 9 surgeries I laid up on that hospital bed saying, what's next? You win your Super Bowl. I'm named MVP. I go to 13 Pro Bowls. I listen to these guys talk about how dominant I am. I hear all of it, Doc. All of the accolades. And then, tomorrow ends when the final statement is made. Ray Lewis, you are now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's no more Super Bowls to win, Doc. There's no more tackles to make. There's no more Pro Bowls to make. There's nothing else to prove to no one else that I came into this business for one reason, to be the greatest to ever do it. I walked out of this business, went in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 47, and then 5 years later, Super Bowl 52, I closed the chapter on my life and I walked into the Hall of Fame. Now, if you want a story, if you find yourself going through something, if you find the world that done counted you out because you found yourself in a dark place, I got a story for you. And just so happened, I'm the writer of this one.
So you know this story.
I know this story, Doc. I know a little bit about this story.
There was something that I heard Will Smith say before, which is to be truly great, you have to be a little delusional. Like when you're setting your goals, when you're thinking about what you want to be, you have to have this little bit of delusion in you. And I really believe that. Like I feel like that is a part of what it helps us get to where we want to be in life. So when you sat down and when you were younger and you thought, I want to be the greatest who ever played the game, somebody, you know, think, oh, this guy's delusional. How are you going to get to that? But what true greatness is staying committed to that day in, day out, going through the darkness, not giving up, never giving up, but just staying committed to that. And then when you truly reach it, and this is the part that is so like beyond what you can write in a story, and it becomes reality, it was never a delusion. And when you start at the very beginning, you have to set a goal that might seem unrealistic to everybody else, but you know in your heart is going to happen.
That man, you just said it. You talked about the heart. Now listen to this. For now, Doc, I want you to remember this. I want us to remember this. Even though you don't have what you want right now, keep your heart open anyway, because later you'll see more. You'll see how it worked out, how it needed to be just so. See, my heart was open. My mind was, I was committed. I wasn't going away from it, Doc. Like, no matter what the frustrations was, no matter how many times you failed, right? Like, what we can't have, what we want, sometimes it hurts, right? It hurts when you can't have something. It hurts when you, but Doc, listen, man, I want to share something today because it's impossible to come down when you're steady going up. So people, you know, every time people ask me, how does it feel? I can't explain what it feels like. I can only tell you what I'm living right now, and that's cloud 99.
I just realized something as you were saying this, that is the daily grind. So your workout, for people that don't know what your workout is, it embraces going to failure. You, every time you're going to failure, you're not supposed to get it. You're supposed to come up short, which is why you push yourself so that. And what I think is interesting is we live now, and I'm encountering a lot of young people who want that success. They want to be able to say, oh, I want to be the greatest, but they're not willing to put in the work. Or the second they start to work and they don't get what they want, they get upset. But I think what's interesting is how we train our bodies. We train our minds for muscle memory. And your workout where you pushed yourself to failure for all those years, you embraced it. You didn't run from it. You weren't scared of it. You said, I'm going to push myself to failure every day, every time. And I think embracing that is exactly what took you to that next level. You were never afraid of failure. You were embracing it and moving through it and defeating it.
Remember, I told you there's two sides of pain. There's a physical side of pain that you feel if somebody pinch you. Then there's another side of pain that if you push through pain, there's glory on the other side of it. Every workout, every one of those reps, remember, by the time me and you met, that was on the back side of those reps. Think about those reps starting, oh my gosh, with a deck of cards at 10 years old.
Yeah.
When I felt this pit in the bottom of my stomach that made me want to quit. But I grabbed and I embraced that feeling. And I said, I wonder, can I make that normal? What most people call pain, I want to make that my normal. So I made what most people call pain my normal. I didn't even start peaking until I got past my normal, which was excruciating pain, just pain that you can't even bear.
Yeah.
Unless you breathe and meditate yourself through it.
Preparation and effort is a legacy that oozes from you. Like, that preparation and effort oozes. Every time I'm around you, like, it's just, that's what your legacy is, this effort, this saying, like, you know what? And I think if we tie this into what people are dealing with on an everyday basis, like, people are experiencing shortcomings and disappointments and heartbreaks and things not going the way they want. And as soon as they do, it's like, ah, man, this is going to stop me, versus saying, this is just a part of the reps that I need to take to get to where I want to be.
I tell you this, you know, and this is what you find out when you, as soon as you join the Hall of Fame, and you listen to all of these stories, and every one of these stories sound really similar because it was always the things that they were told, we were told we couldn't do, always the things we were told we couldn't continue doing. And then when you got to wherever you was in your career, the question was, do you still have it? And the only thing that will confirm that, it ain't, listen to me, it's not about what somebody says about you, it's not about what coach says about you, it's not about, it's about one thing. Are you willing to get back up all over again? Because that's what life is. Life is continuously making up your mind that I'm getting up. It does not matter. I have no other option. This is who I am. I stand for who I am, what I deal with every time I walk in that weight room. I know I'm going to fail when I get to 125s. But guess what? If I don't go to 125s when somebody in the game and it's fourth down and one, then I'm going to hesitate on that call.
Yep.
Right? But when I know what I know, when you know what you know, you got to go. When I'm sitting in San Diego on fourth down and two, and I'm sitting, I know the play, Doc. I know the play because I prepared for it. I did everything I was supposed to do. And when I shoot the hole, and everything that I've been waiting for is right there because I prepared properly. You want to learn something from my journey? Prepare properly and let your effort be the reason why somebody writes you a check.
Hmm.
You'll never be fired.
No, I mean, and this is a beautiful time to celebrate this, that what can really come of it. Because if somebody, as people read about your story, as people, I'm glad you're videotaping that journey, because as people watch this, as young people watch this, and I'm talking about next generations, people who weren't aware and didn't know, and as they learn about the history of the game, because this is where you're etched now, in the history of the game. And as they learn about it and they see what it takes. And I think everyone has a different way to go about what you're going to do, but there are some core themes that apply to everyone in every profession in life, and effort and preparation, that applies to everyone. There's nobody that's going to say, oh yeah, I didn't prepare for this greatness. So I think you are a living example of what your career was, for what can happen when people put that effort and preparation in. The challenge, I think, for the world now is young people sticking with it and seeing it. And that's why I'm so glad you taped a lot of this so they can hear you and learn from you. But ultimately, at the end of the day, everyone is going to have to reach deep down. And like you said, it's inside of us. It's whether or not we can reach down and actually tap into it.
That's why I truly believe, honestly, that you must have, there has to be something inside of you that fuels you. And I spoke on another interview last night talking about this. And I'm telling you, Doc, that's why it can never change for me, because doing the things that I've always wanted to do for my mother, like, that's why we live. Like, that's why I live. I live for one reason, man. The first reason is to please God. The second reason is to always make my mother smile. And you know this, having Kaya. When you have kids, man, you got all the motivation in the world to live.
Everything.
But and you have no, and see, when you got four sons and my daughters, like, when I train with them, like, they'll tell you, man, daddy go hard. Daddy go hard. Like, I mean, I'm walking through the room. I'm walking through the house. Like, let's go. Like, okay. I tell my sons all the time, if you think you ready, tell me when you ready. That's why people see me like, man, look like you're still trying to play. I'm like, man, I got four sons. I got to stay ready. Just in case one of them walk in the house one day and think they're ready.
Somebody said the other day when they were watching you, they told me, they said, man, he looks like he can still play. I said, not think he can. He can. He will walk out on that field right now and he can play. Like, you have no idea what kind of shape this man is in. Like, I know that you don't, you did it at all, but I seeing you up close and knowing like how physically strong you are, I know you could get back out there if you wanted to.
Doc, it ain't even the question about if I could get back out there physically. It's me telling you mentally, I would never challenge it again. Doc, that is the ultimate sacrifice, man. I gave it everything. Let me tell you something. This is to somebody who's listening today, who's looking to write something down to give them a reason to chase life. And I'm going to share this with you, because if you ever bought into it, your life will forever change. Just simply wake up every day in your mind and make today the day that you give everything you got. Mm. Now, I ain't talking about wasting no time. I ain't talking about all that. I'm talking about going into a place that only you control. Only you control. Right? And that is effort. That's that God for 17 years, for 20 years at the University of Miami, for 23 years including high school, for 25 years if you wanted to go back to junior high school, for 29 years if you wanted to add all of my years, and then if you wanted to add it all together from 1985 all the way to 2012 and now 2018. My body of work. My body of work. You know, some people vote you in because they like you. But let me tell you, my body of work got me where I am.
100%.
That's what I'm telling somebody.
100%.
If you really want to do something, let your body of work speak for itself. That's what life is, Doc.
100%. 100%. That's the message I think young people really, really, truly need to hear. It's not about talking. It's about showing it. You showed it for so long. Listen, this is just kind of one of those moments where I'm taking it in as you're talking, like it just at maybe at a different level today, because it's special. It's really special to be a part of this, to be able to really hear what's going on with you. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I definitely want to hear like what kind of conversations you had with your brothers who also were enshrined. So stick with us and we'll be right back. So we're back and you had a couple other people be enshrined in this class. You guys had some conversations, I'm sure, at points together. What was that like for you? Were there ever moments this past week when it was just you guys together?
I had those moments everywhere, right? I had those moments coming from so many places, Doc. And, you know, Jim Brown came to my room right before the actual induction. I mean, right before the knock on the door. And I stood there and I looked at him face to face. And he said, "Welcome home."
That's awesome. That's straight awesome.
Man, and I'm like, wow.
Somebody you idolized.
Listen, man, my grandfather idolized. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I stand in a hallway with Willie Lanier for 45 minutes and listening to Willie's heart. Just me and him, oh my gosh, he's followed me so long. And just listening to Will Lanier speak into my life, tell me that only God himself could have created these moments to be in the Hall of Fame. Listen to this. This is how deep this fraternity is. When I tell you on stage at the honors, Franco Harris, I want you to listen to this. This Pittsburgh, Baltimore, whatever you want to call it. But Franco Harris grabbed me by my face with tears in his eyes and said, "Welcome home, my son." It's Franco Harris. We talk about Mean Joe Green telling me, "Thank you for carrying the way you're supposed to play the game." Wow. Man, Doc, we can be here doing a podcast for the next 80 days from the things that I've heard from legends. That I always tell people, man, you are always being watched. And every one of those guys, I can give you a handful of them, Doc, that had personal stories about when they saw me play that I didn't even know.
That's awesome. That's so incredible. But listen to this. So these guys, welcome home, talking about you carried on the legacy. But I was looking at something with the Hall of Fame. So it says one of the statements in the creed is to elevate the game by loving those who helped build it. And you literally built the Baltimore Ravens from the ground up. And I think I'd love to hear you talk about that. Like that from the beginning. I mean, this was what you created.
Well, see, now that goes all the way back to being the first at something. We come to Baltimore, Doc. When Ozzie Newsome called me on draft day in 1996, he said, "We're drafting you to Baltimore." I said, "Baltimore? Baltimore who?" Like, who is Baltimore?
That's awesome.
And me and Jonathan Ogden get there together, and we don't have no colors. We don't have a logo. We don't have nothing.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Doc, we had nothing. Doc, we had contests to try to figure out what's the logo going to be. We had people writing in, sending what you think the logo should be. I think the logo changed, two or three times, I think.
Was there a logo that stood out to you that you remember?
Well, we had this one logo, man, that was like a raven bird spreading his, that was our first one, spreading his wings and, you know, whatever. And I'm just telling you, we got to Baltimore and nobody knew Baltimore. The fans were loyal because football had been taken away from them. But I mean, the expectation of winning, that wasn't too high, right?
Right.
Because this was the same team coming from Cleveland who couldn't figure it out.
Right.
So then you start to change a culture around. See, Doc, this is why I want to go deep with this and why I'm trying to tell you why I'm in reflection mode. Mm. Because nobody remember the first day I walked in Baltimore. Mm. Nobody remember the old military camp that we had to actually have for training camp out of. Doc, we had nothing.
Wow.
It was so dark. And all I could say was, nah. And I told you this story before. I play in Pittsburgh one time and I saw that culture in 1996, 97. And I picked up a patch of that grass. And I picked up that grass, that dirt, and I took that dirt back to Baltimore. You think I'm exaggerating? I took that dirt back to Baltimore. And I said, this is the culture that I'm looking to bring here.
Wow.
And now you come all the way back full circle. Full circle. And to see what was completed in a city and an owner in 40 plus years that could never see a ring. That's why I said all the time, Doc, honest to God, this is a humble approach. But man, I don't think they could ever pay me my true worth. Because what I poured into that city, what I gave those men, I gave my life to that city. Mm. Baltimore got my life. Mm. I now I'm rejoicing in a different way. Because I'm going to go back and do something in Baltimore. I'm going to go back and do something in my hometown, Lakeland. I'm going to do something in Miami. Because each one of those cities gave me an opportunity. Mm. Right? And everybody has the same opportunity. Now, sometimes opportunity may look dim. But when you just appreciate just opportunity alone, oh, man. That's why me and you having this conversation. Right? Me and you don't meet if we don't go 4-12 in Baltimore. Yeah, exactly. We don't meet if we don't go 6-9-1, 6-10. We don't meet. And now we're meeting and I can share the story to tell people it's something. And that's why I tell people this. It's something to be known in one place. I never put on another uniform.
It's one of the things that is, I think that it's something that people just can't fully, they'll never be that level again. I just don't know that they'll ever be anything like that again. And I'm really glad that Franco said what he said to you. And I'm glad that I'm able to say, when someone asked me, what's Ray really like? I was like, you don't understand. I love this man. Like, he is a phenomenal human being. And I love the idea of the rivalry in sports. That's fun. That's what makes sports fun, is to embrace a rivalry. But when you really look at these men who are making a tradition and a legacy, it's unreal. So for you to have stuck with Baltimore your entire career, that's unique. You build it up, your whole legacy is there. And you and I have talked about this before. There are not many people who are doing that. And that's a shame. I think it's changing the game.
I told you, it's not only changing the game. You know what's going to happen? They're going to get into their late 40s, early 50s, and they're going to realize they may have money, but they don't have a legacy. Mm. You know? And that's what happens when all of these great ones start shuffling around, is that the one thing that they miss is having something that I can go back to that I can call home.
Listen, Ray, when all this stuff's happening right now, if anybody follows the NBA and you see all these players going from this team to that team, it is so rare to have a player even stick with the same team, let alone at your caliber, not that anybody's at your caliber, but to have greatness even stay. So it's really something that is, I wish people could learn from, because to me, what you brought as a fan to the fans was a reason to tune in, a reason to see, like, here's somebody who's dedicated and loyal to his team. That loyalty, that can be seen on the television. Like, it can come through the screen. Like, people are watching. Like, this man will stick with this organization no matter what. And that is so rare.
I signed four different contracts. There was four different times that I could have left Baltimore. Hmm. There was three of those times that I was offered double the money.
Wow.
And every time the decision came down and I sat in there with my agent, I said one thing, I'm not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. No. Halfway in between, we won our first Super Bowl, right? 4 years after that, he's like, man, this team rebuilding, man. Like, you probably need to think about making a move. I don't know if y'all ever gonna win another Super Bowl. I said, I ain't built like that. I'm not going nowhere. I'm old school, man. You stay here and you make it work. Because at the end of the day, when God blesses you with territory, don't you dare give it away for worldly possessions of rings and money. Because that will not be what you're remembered for. You will be remembered for your legacy. Man, my legacy is in one city for 17 years. It took me 5 years to win my first one. And to win my second one, it took me 12. Mm. But I promised my city, I ain't going nowhere. Mm. I'm not going nowhere. Doc, it's the greatest value. It's the greatest asset that you will ever maintain in your portfolio of life. It's the greatest one.
It's your, and what I would love for people to know about you is your loyalty goes beyond, like that's embedded in your character. That's who you are. And it's just so beyond refreshing, because it's something that the world is lacking a lot of right now. And I think that people can really truly learn from this. I mean, Ray, listen, this journey, like this, I'm kind of just taking it in. Like I have less to say because I'm just taking it in. But when you just said you stay here and make it work, like I wish you could speak to every team in every professional sports and have every single athlete hear that, because coming from you, I think that's what people need to hear.
It's from some of the greatest, you know, all the way down, Doc. If you watch their journeys, if you watch their careers, at the highest point of their careers, I want you to think about this. What they were doing, they was in one city. And no matter good or bad game, guess what? You are still appreciated.
Yes.
I told somebody this other night, don't you ever deny appreciation. I don't care where it comes from. Hmm. And see, people, you put on a different uniform, they can boo you. Oh, he ain't the same. Oh, he a traitor. Oh, we'll burn his jersey. Oh, we can do so many things. But put on one jersey. Put one seat on your back and declare to them we are connected for life. It's like the perfect marriage. I'm not going nowhere. Yeah, it's going to be ups. Yeah, it's going to be downs. Yeah, time's hard. But I told Baltimore years ago, God put me here for a different reason, and I ain't going nowhere.
Well, honestly, Ray, as a fan, I believe, this is just my opinion for what it's worth, but I believe that the way players move around, they're hurting their sport because there isn't anybody like you anymore. Like they're rare. There might be a couple here and there, but they're rare. They're becoming more and more rare. And I really hope that young people can hear you, that they can hear this podcast, that they can hear you speak and understand what that really means to have a legacy in one place, loyalty, because it means so much to people to know that someone's going to stick around for them and not just leave for a little bit of extra money when you're already making enough money. Like I hear that all the time. Guys will say, well, I got to feed my family. It's one thing to feed your family. You're already making enough to feed your family. So now it's a question of loyalty and what's your dedication and what's your legacy. So I hope a lot of people can learn from you, because to me, if people don't, it's going to tarnish the sport.
Well, see, a lot of people chase winning seasons. There are very few who chase winning reasons. See, that's a big difference. And that's why a bunch of these guys change teams, because they want to have winning seasons. But what if your legacy was to be around for winning reasons?
The reason why I love that is, like, I really just got excited about that is, you never looked and said, okay, well, I got to jump ship. My team's not doing well. I'm going to jump ship. I'll go find somebody who's doing well and just be a part of that. Instead, you're like, no, I'm here. I'll help create it around me.
And again, I ain't going nowhere.
It's you have to hear this from somebody who grew up in Pittsburgh as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Your legacy is so appreciated. It's appreciated in every city, in every team, because what you did is the standard. I believe it's the standard. And I really hope more people aspire to start doing it.
It is. I tell you what, I know we're winding down. And I tell you what, man, like, you know, we got a lot to talk about in these next upcoming weeks, because I'm telling you, the standard, you don't recognize the standard until you really have sacrificed everything to stay put. Doc, I'm 42, man. You know, I'm young. I'm a young man, Doc. And the things that I've accomplished at 42, Doc, it ain't too many cities it ain't too many states that you can count right now, Doc, where somebody can tell you there's a statue of your essence placed in the ground. Doc, that means the earth had to be dug up.
Yeah.
And your legacy, your statue, your who you are, is what inspires. What?
It's crazy.
That's a legacy.
It's
man.
Crazy. We were there, right?
About winning.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I remember being at that statue unveiling, and we just looked at each other like, Crystal and I were looking at each other like, do you realize this is a statue? Like that's when you that's when you've done well in your career. You have a statue. I mean, and then today to have it, this week to have it all culminated and all come together to be
wow. Full circle. Look, I know we ended, so I'm gonna leave you with this. You know, I always leave you with this, right? Whatever you want to do in life, you got to make up your mind to go do it. What I did in life was I created a foundation very early. My foundation turned out to be God very early. I learned that reading my Bible would be very, very effective for me, because it will guide me in ways that I didn't know. Even when I found myself going down the wrong paths, when I went back to read my Bible, it always corrected me. What I started to understand then more, I had to pay attention to people that came before me. What did they do differently that made them that set them aside from everybody else? Then I started looking at, maybe it ain't size. Maybe it ain't how fast you run. Maybe it's not even about what you look like. Maybe it's purely on your mindset, on what you wake up every day telling yourself. And a lot of us in life right now, we're stuck in a crisis because we're worried about circumstances or situations or people. But I tell you, if you really want to do something in your life, tell your mind every day of my life, this is who I am. I'm not going nowhere. And what I'm going to think about, whatever I think about is what I'm willing to work for. Mm. The greatest accomplishment I got, the greatest, not only accomplishment, one of the greatest compliments I got, and this is from at least 5 to 7 of the greatest people and athletes I've ever met in my life. To hear somebody say, your journey made me want to be a better man. Mm. You're done. You're done. That's why you live.
Yep.
That's why you live. To influence somebody else to be better at what they're doing. Mm. That's why we live.
I love it. Hey, I cannot tell you how happy I am for you. Like, I just sheer joy to be able to watch you be able to do this. Like, Ray, honestly, like, I am honored to be here with you. And I love you and I appreciate you. But I am so just proud to get to witness what you have accomplished and where you are. So once again, congratulations, First Ballot.
Hey, book your ticket to Canton.
That's what I'm talking about.
Book your ticket to Ken, because right now the word is they selling out right now.
I'm booking
all
it now.
All day passes. Dog, you got to get on there and get on it now. And I'm telling anybody else who want to be connected to something that I think will be one of the greatest days that our country has ever seen. I mean, what I'm building, how I'm building my message, dog. It's for our country. It's for us as people. It's for us to get back to loving each other and stop judging each other. It's for us to get back to put God back on the throne. It's time, Doc. Somebody got to be bold enough to do it. And everything that I'm getting for as awards and accolades and all of this, it only goes back to one thing. When God is for you, who can be against you, man? Like, this is the greatest ride I've ever been on in my life. Appreciate you, brother.
Huge. Well, we're back. We are back, and we will be back next week with 2 episodes. So we want to thank you so much for downloading the Tackling Life podcast. If you want more Tackling Life content, go to tacklinglifepodcast.com. And you can find links to our pages on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and other podcast sites where you can subscribe and get 2 all-new episodes automatically downloaded every week. When you visit the Tackling Life website, you'll find links to our Facebook and Twitter pages where you can give us feedback, questions, ideas, and suggestions. You can also call us at 646-762-4432. 646-762-4432. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend. Until next time, for the legend and First Ballot Hall of Fame inductee, Ray Lewis, I'm Dr. Christian Carter.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.